Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody stand up on your feet and make some noise for one of the most phenomenal female groups of our time. Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, Quickie, the Clark Sisters.
At all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Good morning. It's February the 3rd, 2024, and this is Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yoke of bondage. You have now entered the Blog Talk Radio zone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and we're in the second month of the year, February, Black History of 2024. And we are looking for a great move of God in this new year of 2024. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host on today, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And it's all about our worship today, so let's get right to it. Part two, announcements. Please also consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois 60643. Thank you to those who have sent in your donations in 2023. They are well appreciated. Expansion is coming in 2024. Continue to tune in for more information. If you're blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital AMAZENGRACEMINISTRIES@gmail.com. To everyone listening to Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this second month of 2024. And we're on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and we have exciting lessons. So please tune in. And if you would like to connect to this lesson live, the link is http://tobtr.com/s/12311019. Let's look into our lesson explained. We have a word on today to captivate your mind, to illuminate your heart, and to lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to great peace, to greater hope, and closer to Jesus. We are in the new year, and we are going to receive the miraculous in every area of our lives. We are looking for God to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Therefore, let us draw living water from the well and offer sacrifices of praise, because we will have the miraculous in 2024. The theme for the month of February in 2024 is praising God for the miraculous. The lesson for this first Saturday in February is, come, worship with me. Let's read the topic scriptures, and I'll be reading from the King James Version, John 4, 7 through 15, and it reads, there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. John 4, 19 through 21, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship? Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. John 4, 28 through 30, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Just have a little review from last week. We defined worship. Worship is the feeling or expression of irreverence and adoration for a deity. Show reverence and adoration for deity honor with religious rites. Now, the context of worship essentials can refer to the fundamental elements that are necessary for a meaningful and fulfilling worship experience. These essentials can vary depending on the religion, denomination, or individual. For example, in Christianity, worship essentials might include prayer, singing hymns, reading scriptures, and taking communion. Worship can also be essential to the Christian life because it helps keep believers focused on God and eternity. In other religions, worship essentials might include meditation, chanting, or performing specific rituals. Worship is certainly a well-used word in the Bible, but is it really that significant? First, a little background. The words worship, praise, thanksgiving, sacrifice, and offering occurs over 1,500 times in the Bible. Those aren't all the words related to worship, but they indicate some of the frequencies of the concept of worship in the Bible. Today's lesson. Biblically, every decision is an act of worship. Joshua 24, 15 and 16. In John 4, 1 through 26, worship is defined and detailed in an encounter between Jesus and a woman at a well in Samaria. Samaritans practiced a basic form of Judaism, 2 Kings 17, and were seen by Jews as a cult. Let's review this lesson in detail. Today's lesson scriptures are about a woman and her relationship to God. Jesus' teaching calls us to reflect on our lifestyle as a community of believers. She lived in a community without full knowledge of God or godliness. One lesson focused on the importance of worship and how people encounter Jesus on a daily basis. Scripture vocabulary. Samaritan. Samaritan is a person who lived in Samaria, or in the area known today as Nablus. Samaritans follow or practice Judaism in a particular form based on their understanding and writing of their version of the Pentateuch. Jews and Samaritans did not get along because of how they believed, understood, and practiced the laws of Moses. Worship. Worship is a pervasive attitude of reverence, adoration, and action expressed toward God. Worship suggests revering God through a humble posture while also serving him in daily activities. Although the form of worship may change, what remains constant is one's sincerity and authenticity within their heart. Listen to the word of God. Sacrificial offerings and prayer represents the essence of worship. Sychar. Sychar is a city of Samaria, described as a place of on true or falsehood, likely because the Sumerians were thought to have an incomplete understanding of God and their antagonistic relationship with the Jews. Geographically, Sychar is considered to be a close proximity to Shechem or Ashkar, depending on the exact location of Jacob's well, which was still active during the time of Jesus. That's truth, justice, and power, the Jesus way. That's Christ 2019. Worship is both private and public, and it is an expression of our complete and unconditional devotion to Jesus. It is a matter of the heart. Jesus is the subject and object of our worship, which is a far expression beyond simple intellectual comprehension. Geographically, gender, or social standings are not important when it comes to worshiping Jesus. Whether you are alone or in a group, God must be foremost first. In every condition and every situation, God has kept us. It is not by our good looks, but it is by God's grace and his mercy. Whenever we are in the place to worship, his divine power allows us to express ourselves. Let me give you some background on the text. The location of the story of Sychar near the ancient city of Shechem, according to tradition, Jacob built a well there that was still active in Jesus' time. The scripture focus today follows a conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. The Samaritans are the offspring of Jews and Assyrians and had an antagonistic relationship with the Jews for two reasons. One, Samaritans worshipped on a mountain in Jezreel, not Jerusalem. Two, the primarily Jewish population in the southern kingdom felt superior to their more ethnical mixed counterparts in the north. This long-standing disagreement was still relevant in Jesus' time. The Samaritan woman meets Jesus as he is traveling from Judah to Galilee. He takes a short through Samaria, in spite of the tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus will find you where you are and will go to that location to give you a blessing of which you have need of. Thank God for Jesus. He is tired and weary from his travel, so he requests a drink of water. This conversation quickly moves from physical water to spiritual water. The woman is hesitant at first because she does not realize Jesus' divine nature or the meaning of living water. But she soon realizes Jesus as a prophet, but not only that, as the Messiah. The text says a woman goes to a well seeking to draw water. She encounters Jesus, who changes her life. This transformative encounter is different because she faces truth expressed in an unfamiliar way. She challenged to recognize her own failures in her earthly and spiritual relationships, which have been devastating for her. Her spirituality is incomplete. She has been involved with five men and appears that she is living with a man now. The Samaritan woman finds herself in a spiritual predicament because she does not understand God's plan. Her faith in God is based upon her location, not dedication to the invisible God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The historic difference between the Samaritans and the Jews impedes her ability to properly see God is bringing her to Jesus. Come on. Can you see God bringing you closer to Jesus? Come to this old well that Jacob built in the heat of the day. And she's introduced to a man who she recognized not only is interested in her life, but her lifestyle after she acknowledged that Jesus as a prophet. Not only does she find fresh water to quench her thirst, but she finds spiritual water as well. Verses 7 through 9, now Jesus traveled from Judah back to Galilee after learning how the Pharisees were complaining about his popularity. They wanted to harm him because the people were listening and paying more attention to Jesus than the Pharisees. Jesus loved Judah because it was not time to go, for him to go. While traveling, he grew tired and decided to rest at the well, Jacob's well in Samaria. Although Samaria was a place that you've avoided, Jesus, a Jew, purposely traveled there. Hallelujah. As Jesus rested, a Samaritan woman come to the well. Jesus' meaningful conversation with her would change her life forever. Women often came to the well, not alone, but in groups, either early or later, to stay out of the sun. However, this woman came at noon, suggesting that she was isolated and an outcast in her community. The weight of shame as a result of her lifestyle. The disciples had gone ahead into the city to purchase food from the Samaritans. This is significant because it shows their willingness to buy from this community, but you couldn't socialize. That was unthinkable. The Hebrews had strict social regulations for men and women. It was a social taboo for man to speak with a woman alone, and even more damaging for a rabbi to speak to a woman in a public alone. In this case, this taboo was compounded by the long-standing conflicts between the Samaritan and the Jews. Jesus responded to the woman concerned after the Samaritans and the Jews' relationships issues by informing her that if she knew who he was and the importance of the living water, then she would gladly give him water. That's verse 10. Because she does not know, she focused on the fact that Jesus does not have anything to draw the water from the well or drink the water, so why is he here? Jesus does not address this issue because it is not relevant to why he is speaking with her. That is a greater issue here at stake, and that it is her relationship with the living God. The Samaritan woman does not know that Jesus is far greater and superior to Jacob. She does not know who Jesus is, so her conversation is based on what she has been taught and learned. Her use of words, "our father Jacob," would have been offensive to any other Jew, since the Jewish people were children of Israel and the teaching that the Samaritans are best will have breeds, Price 52:20-19. Jesus not taken back or offended by questions. His purpose for interacting with her was beyond the history of the well or her whole family. Jesus wanted her to experience a revelation about her own identity and self-worth in such depth and impact that the world around her would learn and see and accept Jesus for themselves. Although the woman requested physical water, she does not realize that Jesus is inviting her to accept spiritual water that never runs dry, MacArthur 15:50. The Samaritan woman has focused her attention on the water in the well. Like many of us, she only thinks about what she can see or confirm to be true. The well goes deep and has water, but the living water that Jesus offers is deeper and life-giving. Many other characters in John's gospel takes the word and responses of Jesus literally, or did not understand how he can see it and provide beyond a surface response, such as disciples who believed that Jesus could feed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch and leftovers. That's John 6:1-15. The idea of living water is derived from an Old Testament motive that describes God. In Jeremiah 2:13, God describes himself in the midst of disobedient Jews as the fountain of living water. Other prophetic writings follow metaphors when they look forward to living water that will flow of Jerusalem, Zechariah 14:8. The point is that living waters are equated with infinite, eternal life embodied in Jesus Christ. This woman needed the life-giving water that only Jesus could give. Jesus is not removing her life circumstances, but offering a way for her to make her own changes from the inside out. The Samaritan woman was unable to understand spiritual matter, and therefore Jesus had to bring the conversation to physical situations. The fact that she had 5 husbands and was cohabiting with a man was an indication of her social upheaval in her life. She lacked stability, and her spiritual life was deficit. Jesus plainly described to the woman, who did not know her physical condition, Jesus keeps moving with the conversation towards her understanding and accepting who he is in her and would change an outward expression of that change. In conclusion, we know that Christians in the early church were pleasing God with their worship. That still is true today. If we worship God as they did, we can be sure that God is pleased. When we add to or take away things from the worship service that God ordained, we must fear that our worship is unacceptable, no matter how sincere. An example of worship that was not accepted by God is that of Cain, who later would kill his brother. God asked Cain, "Why are you upset?" Because in reality, you know what it took to worship God. Let us offer to God acceptable worships with reverence and awe, Hebrews 12 and 28. This is a reality. Worshiping God is a deep, personal, and meaningful practice for believers. It's a way to express reverence, gratitude, and connection with the divine. Here are 20 powerful ways you can worship God every day. You can read the Bible. The Word of God is a powerful guide for living. Studying it helps you understand his character, his will, and how to respond in various situations. 2, reflect on God's glory. Spend time in prayer or meditation, contemplating the greatness of our Creator. Consider the intricacies of nature, the vastness of the universe, and his sovereignty. 3, sing to him, whether alone or with others. Lift your voice in praise. Sing hymns, worship songs, or create your own melodies to honor God. 4, pray. Communicate with God throughout the day. Share your joys, concerns, and desires. Seek his guidance and express gratitude. 5, thank him for each new day. As you wake up, express gratitude for the gift of life and the opportunity to serve him another day. 6, practice gratitude. Cultivate a thankful heart by acknowledging his blessings, even in small things like a beautiful sunrise or a warm meal. 7, serve others. Acts of kindness and service reflects God's love. Help someone in need. Volunteer or lend a listening ear. 8, study his name and attributes. Explore the different names and characteristics of God. Meditate on his love, mercy, and faithfulness. 9, create art. Use your creativity to honor God. Paint, write, compose music, or dance as an expression of worship. 10, memorize scriptures. Hide God's word in your heart. Memorize verses that inspire and encourage you. 11, this silence and stillness. Set aside moments to be still before God. Listen for his voice and allow him to speak to your heart. 12, attend worship service. Gather with fellow believers to worship corporately. Sing, pray, and learn together. 13, practice generosity. Give cheerfully and sacrificially. Support causes that align with God's heart. Fast. Temporarily abstain from something, whether it's food, social media, etc., to seek God's presence and guidance. 15, read devotionals. Start or end your day with devotionals that focus your thoughts on God. 16, just forgiveness. Extend grace to others as God has forgiven you. Let go of bitterness and resentment. 17, celebrate communion. Remember Jesus' sacrifice by partaking in communion. Reflects on his love and redemption. 18, praise him in nature. Spend time outdoors, marveling at his creation, whether in the garden, forest, or by the sea. Recognize his handiwork. 19, share your testimony. Tell others how God has worked in your life. Your story can inspire and encourage fellow believers. 20, live a life of integrity. Honor God in your actions, words, and thoughts. Let your life be a testimony of his grace and truth. Now remember, worship is not confined to a specific time or place. It's a lifestyle that permeates every moment. This is your February challenge to text me or Dr. Carey and tell us which one of the 20 that you included in your daily routine. Worshiping God also means sharing our faith with others, which is an essential aspect of our spiritual journey. Here are some ways to worship by telling others. Live a consistent Christ-centered life. Our action speaks volumes. By living out our faith consistency, we become a living testimony of God's grace and love. People notice when our lives align with our belief, and it can lead to conversations about our faith. Be a friend and a good listener. Building genuine relationships allows us to share our faith naturally. Be a good listener. Show empathy and be there for others. As trust grows, opportunities to talk about Jesus may rise. Pray for opportunities. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and provide opportunities to share the gospel. Pray for your receptive hearts and open doors. God often orchestrates divine appointments when we seek him. Avoid arrogance and preachiness. While sharing our faith, humility is crucial. Avoid coming across as judgmental or self-righteous. Instead, approach conversations with love, compassion, and a desire to connect. Remember that telling others about Jesus is not about forcing our beliefs on them, but rather sharing the hope formation we've experienced through Christ. As Psalm 71 and 8 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. However, the challenge is for 20 powerful ways you can worship God in February. Please text us. Tell us which one of the 20 that you included in your daily routine. It can also be more than one. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Alpha and the Omega, and we come to give you glory this morning, Lord God. Lord God, we come to worship you on today, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up, God. You didn't have to do it, but you did, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we woke up and we knew our name, and we knew that we wanted to listen to the blog on this morning. And Lord God, we thank you for your word, God. Lord God, we thank you for Dr. Carey, God. We actually just bless her in her future endeavors, Lord God. Then, Lord God, I actually just to look on my leader today, Lord God, the administrative assistant superintendent, and Dr. Byron L. and Lady Gibbs, God. Look on my assistant pastor this morning, Lord God, Elder Johnson and Evangelist Johnson. Then, Lord God, look on Mother Carey today, Lord God. Look on Mother Garnett, God, Mother Norman, Mother Maxine, Mother Florida, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we actually look on all the mothers, Lord God. Mother Luckett this morning, Lord God. Look on the bereaved family, Mother Moore today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Look on Dad Ellis today, Lord God. Hallelujah. You know what they need, God. Hallelujah. Look on the listeners one by one, name by name, God. Look on the ushers, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God. Lord God, look on Sister Christine down in Texas today and Lady and Pastor Martin today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Go to Iowa and look on Devin, God. Look in Indiana over on Pat, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thanking you today, Lord God. Look on the Stevens today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Look on Pastor and Lady Shelton today, God. Pastor and Lady Williams today. Look on Mom Williams, Lord God. Touch her body, God. You know what she needs. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, God. Hallelujah. Look on the ushers today, Lord God, the musicians, Lord God, the whole household of faith, Lord God. Look on Tanny, Devin, and David this morning, Lord God. Look on our children, our grandchildren, God, our children's children, our children's children's children, because somebody prayed for us. Hallelujah. Lord God, look on them today, Lord God. Look on Dr. Bradley today, Lord God. Hallelujah. You know what you need, Lord God. Do it for Lord God. Hallelujah. Look on Evangelist Franklin today, Lord God. Oh, God, all those that I didn't call their names, Lord God, you know those that said pray for me. Look on the bereaved today, Lord God. Look on Administrative Assistant Taylor today, Lord God. His family as they bury their son out in North Chicago today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you know what the family need, God. Look on them and be with them on today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Look on each and every one, Lord God, one by one, name by name, Lord God. And we're going to give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise on this morning. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your host is the Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and the CEO of Blog Talk Radio. And today, Evangelist Rogers, your co-host. I want you to tune in next week. Dr. Carey will be back, same time, 9 a.m., and I want you to just enjoy your day on purpose.